Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for opening our hearts that we might receive what you have to say to us. And through receiving it, Lord God, that we might walk in victory. The victory that you bought for us and gave to us and said, now use it. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the thing about the presence of the Lord and the Spirit of God is that He always knows what's going on. He always knows when we may not, He always knows. See, we've got three or four different connected people that shared things this morning and ministered on certain things and prayed. And you know, the songs, the things that were shared, it was amazing to me how many times that it was said about being dead. That when you were without Christ, you're dead. And even the article that I put in the bulletin this week didn't give away anything that I was going to preach this morning. Because what I put in the bulletin was a follow-up of what I didn't get said last week, but it has no direct connection with my sermon this morning. Even though it doesn't have a direct connection, almost everything else that's happened this morning has had a connection with the message that I'm going to bring this morning. And what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is who you are and where you are and what you are. Now, that's such a broad subject that you can't get it all in one time. But the specifics of it this morning, I think you'll catch. And I want you to begin by turning to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, remember what I said was talked about. And the very first verse, Ephesians chapter 2, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says that before your first encounter with Jesus Christ, you were dead in trespasses and sins. There was no spiritual life in you. No matter how good you were, no matter how much you had done for people, until you met Jesus Christ and accepted Him as the sacrifice for your sins and as your purpose. It needs two AA batteries. Hallelujah. You were dead in trespasses and sins. He made you alive. You didn't do anything to get out of it. You didn't resurrect yourself. You didn't rise from the dead. You were raised from the dead when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now, you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, I hope you understand what that means, because it simply means that if you are not in Christ Jesus, you are walking in the footprints of the prince of the power of the air and of the course of this world. In other words, outside of Christ, you're just plain dead. A lot of people think they're enjoying their life. They're always striving for something, because on the inside, no matter what they have around them, no matter what they possess, no matter what kind of power they have, they are dead. Hallelujah. He said, you once walked like this, among whom also we all once conducted. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Were by nature. The nature that we had before we met Jesus Christ made us like children of wrath. People that were anti-God. There are only two spirits that motivate people. One of them is the spirit of Christ. The other one is the Antichrist spirit. Amen. Anti means against. So you are either, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me.
That's right.
In any neutral ground. There is no Switzerland in spiritual realms.
That's right.
Now, if you don't know what I mean by that, Switzerland has been neutral through all the wars and all that. Probably because so many people involved in the wars have so much money in Switzerland that they don't want to risk it all getting blown away. Switzerland just says, we're not in this fight, and everybody leaves them alone. But it's not that way. I don't want to serve God. I certainly don't want to serve the devil. Then who are you going to serve? Anybody else to choose from? If you serve yourself, you're serving the devil. If you only do what you want to do, you're serving the devil. So he said, remember all this. Now, that's just a background to get us here. But God, no matter what's going on in your life, never forget those two words.
Amen.
But God. You may be down in the bottom of the barrel. The barrel may be turned upside down on top of you. But God.
Amen.
Never forget that. And then put after that His promises. But God, who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Why were you raised from the dead spiritually? Because God is rich in mercy. He didn't come along and look at you and say, oh, they're good enough to be, they deserve to be raised from their spiritual death. No. If you're counting on that happening, it's never going to happen. It's just like what Laverne said this morning. You get better than you are so you can go to church. I can't go to church until I get this straightened up. Won't make any difference.
Amen.
Won't make any difference to God.
Right.
You know, you come to that door back there, and I don't care what kind of shape you're in. He's not going to stand there and say, oh, you can't come in like you are. Now, there may be some stupid people and some self-righteous elders or deacons or whoever that'll say, you can't come in here. Your kind don't belong in here. And there's some people that feel that way. We don't want your kind at our church. What kind do you want?
That's
We don't want any lost people at our church. Well, hallelujah. What a statement. Then why are you here? We're just here to have a good time. A good time doing what? Well, enjoying one another. Well, you don't need church for that. You should be here. If you're enjoying yourself in God, one of the things that should give you joy is somebody that doesn't know God coming in and saying, I'm here. Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. He's rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. When you were dead in trespasses and sins, Jesus Christ died for you. If you're listening on the internet, if you're dead in trespasses and sins, if you're in here dead in trespasses and sins, He died for you while you were that way. He never came down here and died for us because we earned it. Key verse, verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. He loved us then. He certainly loves us now. Amen. He's on your side. Now that I know that He is for me, not against me. Amen. Singing the song. Dance 1,000 miles because He's for me, not against me. Now, He loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, He made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. Now you gotta catch this. Don't get theological on me. But just catch what I'm saying. When He made us alive together with Christ, our life in the Spirit became available to us when Jesus was raised from the dead. That's when your spiritual life became effective. In parentheses, and it's the way my Bible's got it written, by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. You know, there's a little bit of a, well, not a little bit, but there's a doctrine that's been promoted recently by some people and some very prominent people. It hasn't received too much acceptance, but it's still out there, so need to be aware of it. And that is that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, God's provision for salvation was for all mankind, and that everybody is included in salvation. Now that's a half truth. Everybody was included in the salvation purchase that Jesus made. But what they're saying is, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you live it or not, blah, 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 because He died and rose from the dead, that takes care of everybody's salvation. Now, we're not going to get down there, but if you go down a few more verses, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." The grace of God saved us 2,000 years ago in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for it to be effective for us, we have to accept it by faith that it was for me. Amen. Jesus, I accept what you did for me. Not that I have to accept the forgiveness of sins in the sense of, like Laverne said this morning, that I've got to go back and try to repent of all my known sins. Your known sins were taken care of when Jesus Christ died on the cross and when He rose from the dead. What needs to be taken care of by us is the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior, not us as our Savior by what we can do or have done and don't do anymore. It's through Jesus Christ that we have been made alive together with Christ. At the same time, Christ was made alive from the dead. Now, this is the exciting part. What's getting ready to come up here? And before we get there, I want to remind you that Jesus said to His disciples in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Amen. That is a wonderful verse of Scripture, passage of Scripture, that many, many people that have been around church and around the Bible for a long time are familiar with. But I challenge you this morning to believe that we have sold that Scripture short. We have looked at that Scripture as a time when we're going to go to heaven after we die, and we're going to have a mansion up there in heaven. And that's true. I believe that. Do you know what Thomas said to Jesus? Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life." Thomas said, "Lord, how can we go? We don't know the way." And you know, like us, we might have done something. Jesus might have said, "Oh, where you been? I'm the way." Now, with that in mind, the fact that He's prepared a place for us, He's not only made us alive together with Christ. That's a pretty good deal.
Oh, amen.
Just being made alive. It's much better to be alive than dead. I mean, you know, some people, "Hey, I'm alive now. Glory to God. That's all I need. Lord, I don't feel like I need to ask you anything else." And Jesus looks at it and says, "You know what your problem is? You have not because you ask not. Until now, you've asked nothing in the Father's name. Ask that you might receive." Say that in John 16. Raised up together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you get a picture of that? That's not something that we're looking forward to when we get to heaven. That's something we've been given now. And when it talks about heavenly places, it's not talking about a throne in the heaven where God lives and where the angels live and where we're expecting to go. It's talking about a spiritual level.
Amen.
It's talking about transcending things that are physical, moving into the things that are unseen.
Amen.
Where the things that are seen were made of things that are not visible. Hebrews 11:3. There's a lot of stuff going on around us that's not visible. If the Bible is true, and we have to accept that it is or it isn't. So the Bible's true, we accept the fact that the Bible's true, then what we got to understand is that all around us things are going on that we don't see. We've got to believe, according to the Word of God, that there are angelic beings. There are angels that are moving among our presence. They're going in and out and back and forth and around, working for you, protecting you, doing the things that are necessary for your life to be what God intended it for it to be. And you've got to know that. You've got to believe it from the Word of God. You can't wait to believe in angels till you see one. You may never see one. Why would they want you to see them? But you've got to believe that. And also around us there are demonic forces. If the Bible is true, there are demons that are working through people, working against people, bumping into people. Whatever way you want to look at it, they're out there. We don't see them, except sometimes we see the effects of them.
That's right.
You may get a vision by the Spirit and see one of them or a bunch of them. I've had that happen to me.
Amen.
I've talked to them. Now, you can talk to them without them talking to you. But when you start talking to them and they answer you back, you better be prepared.
That's right. Amen.
Because it does happen.
Amen.
Now, but in all of the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we have been made to sit together with Christ. Now, do you think it would be good to know where it is we're sitting? How about finding out what it is that's available to us because of where we're sitting?
Amen.
To know where God has put us in Christ Jesus. Well, let's look. Back up to chapter 1, verse 20. The last line of verse 19 says, according to the working of His mighty power. According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Back to that. And seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now, I made a statement Wednesday night to the Bible study group. And I said, now you keep this in focus. I said, I'm not trying to be theological, because you can be theological and get really messed up with everything, the way it's said and everything else. But I said this, and I said, now understand it the way I mean it. That Jesus Christ reconciled us to God with His death and resurrection. In this manner, whatever, and there's differences of opinions depending on what theological scholars you talk to, whatever God had against us, He took it out on Jesus. And set us free. And He raised Him from the dead because Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. And He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now, we are seated in Christ Jesus. Now, think about this. Would it not be all right to say that in the human part of Jesus, God seated Him at His right hand, that what happened at that point was that Jesus could be looked upon as God's right-hand man? Now, what position is that? When somebody's your right-hand man, what are they? They're the one you count on. They're the one you know is going to get it done. They're the one that know that you're going to carry out whatever it is they have decreed. You're their right-hand man. You're going to do it their way, and you're going to get it done. We've been seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are now one with Him. God looks at you. He looks at you, not just as a sinner saved by grace, not just as an imperfect individual that's trying hard and falling down. Jesus Christ lives in you. And with Jesus Christ living in you, you are seated where Jesus is seated. You are now considered God's right-hand man. Does that mean you're going to do it? No. Why are you not going to do it? Because you don't believe it. Or you don't understand it. Or there's just such confusion in your mind that you can't accept it. You know, right-hand men are not people that nothing or that anything negative never happens to. Sometimes right-hand men get shot. Sometimes they may be in a fight and may have to really put forth an effort to get out of it. The significance of a right-hand man is not that you're sitting in a protected place where nothing can get to you. It means that you are to exercise the authority of God over the things that are going on. Let's look again at that verse. Seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. That's rule. Anything that's trying to rule, He seated Jesus Christ far above it. That doesn't mean that He's a great distance from it. That just means He's elevated far above it. Compared to what they are and to compare to what He is, there is no comparison. Amen. God's not hiding you in the clouds. But He's given you the authority to be far above any other rule or authority that rises up against you. You're not on equal terms with the devil. You're not on equal terms with circumstances and situations. You're above them. You have authority over them. Far above all principality and power. That is, any authority. And might, which means power. And dominion. Far above all of those things. Be cute and carnal. You're the Matt Dillon of Dodge City. You know, when Matt can leave town for a while, Festus or some of the others that have, Chester, some of the others, they try to keep things going, but they have a hard time. But buddy, when Matt Dillon gets back in town, it's all over. You got to see yourself that way. You got to see yourself as the one in charge of the situation. You've been given a position above it. Above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Far above every name that is named. You have a medical condition with a name, you're far above it. You have a financial condition with a name, you're far above it. I'm going to tell you something. I went through the valley of death and the mouth of hell last year. But I came out on this side of it in every aspect of my life better than when I went in. And the truth of the matter is, everything being equal, which it isn't, but everything being equal, if everything had been equal, I would have died. But God. And it was the elevated position in Him that gave me survival over what I had to confront last year. Laverne and I both know that at any time we could have given up and it had been over. But God. And every name that is named, look at the next part, put it in perspective, not only in this age. Not only in this age. You miss that and you put everything in the next age. You put everything in eternity. We don't have any trouble believing that all of our problems will be gone, everything will be dealt with, and we'll be hunky-dory. And I don't know where they got that name. But it all will be just wonderful in eternity. We know that. We believe that. We've been taught that. Even the people who don't have much faith for here, they have faith to believe that when we all get to heaven, things are going to be better. But if that's the case, what does it mean not only in this age? That means that you use your position in Jesus Christ, which is far above all of the names that are named, far above all principalities and all powers, And if you have to stare them eyeball to eyeball for years, don't ever forget, you're still above them.
Amen.
Now, I know there's times when it seems like we spend a lot of time eyeball to eyeball with the enemy, looking us in the face, saying, what are you going to do now? Look at him and say, I'm going to step right on your head. Well, you haven't done it yet. Oh, really? Do you remember Jesus? Don't talk about him. Do you remember when he rose from the dead? Of course he remembers. He got his head stepped on. Well, that's where I am now, devil. Feel this? Jesus. Jesus. You want to know what my hope is? Jesus. You want to know where I am right now? I'm in Jesus. I'm above you. Don't see yourself under the enemy's feet. See the enemy under yours. And that's where you've been seated. What's the idea of seated mean? You don't have to work to get there.
Amen.
You can rest from all your labors and rest in Christ Jesus and go under His strength and under His authority. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can meet every challenge. I can overcome every circumstance. I can see every situation changed. Because God's grace is sufficient and my faith is in God's grace. Don't put your faith in something else. Keep your faith in the grace of God. Keep your faith in God. Like I said in the bulletin, you live in a world of faith. Faith surrounds you every time you turn around. It takes faith for you to get up in the morning. It takes faith for you to get in your car. There's some people that they are so full of fear, they won't get in the car and go anywhere because they're afraid something will happen to them en route. Some people are so phobic that they won't even leave their house. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on. And somebody said, and I can't remember who it was, might have been Andrew Woman, that all fear is faith in something else other than God. Fear is faith in something else other than God. When you're afraid, you got more faith in something else than you have in God. Keep that in mind. Now, where are you seated? Where? Oh, come on. You better. Where are you seated? In who? What does that mean? I can
do all things through Christ.
Okay, keep saying that. You'll say it like you mean it after a while. Let's stand. I challenge you to live and act like who you are in Christ Jesus. You'll do it with humility, but you'll do it with assurance.
Amen.
We've already asked for people to receive the Lord. We put things together. You've heard the Word of God. You've experienced the worship and praise of God. Now you got to go out of here and you got to live out there. Till next time. You can do it.
Amen.
Because you're seated above it. Don't look up at your circumstances. Look down at them.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for all your blessings. Thanking you, Lord, for the greatness that you are. All that you have, all that you've done, everything that you've given us, how much love you've extended to us, how much grace and power you have released to us to bring us up to the point where we can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where we can overcome the works of the enemy, where we can be blessings, where, Lord God, we can see ourselves as your right-hand men and women, doing the work of the kingdom, enforcing what you have already made available to us. We thank you, Lord God, for that. Thank you for that love. Thank you for keeping it ever fresh in our hearts. Thank you for your Spirit that reminds us of all that Jesus Christ did, that guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. Thank you, Lord God, for that. Bless your people. Lift them up. And thank you for the victory that you've given them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Men, begin to be signing up for the men's conference in September. We need to know kind of how many are going to be there. I encourage all of you.